Hello, and welcome to this edition of the EV Revolution Show audio podcast. With your host, Kenneth Bocor. This is episode 57, recorded on March 1st, 2024. This episode of the EV Revolution Show is sponsored by File Sanctuary. Need a great web host for your business? Need to get email at yourdomain.com? They provide professional, feature-rich web and email hosting for any project you have in mind. Get started today at filesanctuary.net/cloud and save 10% with promo code EVRevShow. All right, and thanks for joining in to this edition of the EV Revolution Show audio podcast. My name is Kenneth Bocor, as you heard. Always excited to scour the planet for very smart people in different facets of the electrification landscape. And very happy to have Mr. Hiran Bello. He's the Global Marketing Director for Mobility Science and a Dow Marketing Fellow with Dow Consumer Solutions. Good morning or good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thank you. I forget where you're based. You mentioned Canada. So it is still morning for us here in the Eastern Canada time zone. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me. Now, what was interesting is that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you listeners may not know from the general automotive landscape, of course, but even more specifically with the EV landscape to do with, as it evolves, solutions in various diverse modes in from micromobility to buses and commercial, but also, consumer vehicles. But some of the hot topics and I'm using the word hot as a pun because recently in the headlines, there's been a lot of discussion about, again, battery pack fires on EVs and people saying, they're very dangerous and stuff like that. So Dow, amongst their many solutions that they provide, are kind of leading in the areas of battery fire protection and elements to do with that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what they're doing as well in both passive and active safety elements for electric vehicles and vehicles, and see where this conversation leads us down. So again, thank you very much for taking the time, and I hope I summarized what we're going to talk about today adequately.
Yes, I think we have many topics we could talk about.
Yes, we're going to try to limit the time, but we're going to go on it. So let's start, I guess, with the immediate one. So, obviously, I've seen more headlines and I interface a lot with people, with consumers, both at some of the outreach stuff that I do. I also go on radio shows and TV and stuff and answer questions sometimes or articles of the day, whatever the news is, and get on and talk about things. And battery fires are creeping up again. There's some organizations that are out there touting, that EVs are worse than internal combustion vehicles. I mean, we know the numbers that's not true, but we do know that EVs can catch fire. You can get thermal runaway, and it's harder to put out an EV fire, correct, for EMS than it is a traditional ICE fee. But maybe you can tell us some of the things that Dow has done and it continues to do to help increase safety in that area.
Yeah, no, thank you. And it's a very important topic. And maybe one step back, as Dow, we're having a very broad portfolio of many different chemistry, from a PU to silicon. So I will talk a bit more specifically about silicon materials. And to that point is that, we're in a very early part of the value chain. So we're working with the car manufacturers, the OEM, and their suppliers, the tier. So we work across the different value chain. And depending on the battery design, it could be at a battery maker, it could be an OEM, it could be even a tier that make a part of the design, and we're working with all of them. And what we're doing in the battery fire protection, it's very important to have materials, depending on the design, if it's a cylinder, pouch, or prismatic, you need to have different solutions. And one example that we're doing with one of the big suppliers is as well looking at foam sheets. And these are sheets that goes in between the battery, but give them certain properties in order to make the vehicle more safer. Because in an event that a battery got a nail goes through it or something happened, right? You have a thermal runaway, and you want to make sure that the thermal runaway doesn't become a thermal propagation, and you want to isolate it as much as possible. So in this case, when we talk about chemistry is what we're doing, we're developing a formulation, a material that one of our customers make a sheet from, and that sheet goes in between the batteries, but the silicon properties that we're bringing into those batteries is really about, you know, you have compression sets that making sure that it fits properly. But if you have a thermal runaway, that's, you know, the silicon has its very unique properties that if it gets very hot or you have a fire, it ceramifies. So it doesn't burn. So therefore, you know, when you have a thermal runaway, it doesn't, the next material doesn't burn. We protect it. And then you have the legislation that you need to get, you know, five plus minutes to get out of the vehicle. And with these type of technologies, you hopefully can, you know, keep it to one battery and in, sorry, one battery cell. Sorry. And if it have a thermal runaway propagation, you want to make sure that you're protecting it. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the next step that we're doing is one is between the cells, but then as well, if you look at the module level, how can you protect that? Then, for example, we developed a coating that goes on top of the, underneath of the housing of the battery that has as well these properties, the unique properties of silicon for summarification. And in those properties, you know, it doesn't have no electrical conductivity. So it's really making sure that you're protected as much as possible. And the most important thing is that in the early stage, we're working very closely with the battery maker or the OEM that we can help to optimize the design and we can tune our material to the properties they need in a specific battery.
Interesting. And just for layman terms, because I have a large variety of different listeners. Some are very technical and some aren't, like myself. Can you just briefly just state, you know, what thermal runaway is for listeners?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So in case a battery got a puncture of a nail, for example, then
that's, or short or something like that, maybe.
Exactly. Then a battery can get very hot. And then actually, then the battery starts to fire. So you're going to have a lot of heat. You're going to have a lot of smoke, sometimes even particle size. That's really what a lot of people see on the YouTube, let's say. That's ignition that's happening. And that you want to isolate as much as possible so that the other battery doesn't get overheated or have other issues. Yeah.
And with those techniques and solutions that you just outlined, you know, having the ability so that domino effect does not continue. It stops at a firewall or some visualization of something like that, a similar concept that will contain that fire so you don't kind of get full pack runaway and it creates much more hotter fire. Because, for listeners that may not know, it is a bit more challenging for EMS to put out an EV battery packed fire. They just, you know, have to soak it with water, kind of keep the doors closed and the windows closed as much as possible and just soak that vehicle as much as possible. Sometimes that could take 20 or 30 minutes, right, of continued water to be able to cool the pack down to stop that runaway. Is that correct?
That's correct. And even then, you need to make sure that even over time, if the battery is damaged and there's an energy inside, that over time it can even ignite. So therefore, you want to make sure the material around it are preventing it if something happens to, again, get that domino effect. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, I know that in some of the early days, you know, there are some battery chemistries and some cell designs that actually don't catch fire. And I remember specifically a few years ago, watching videos from some of the older Nissan Leaf battery packs, which are the pouch styles. They were from AESO, or I forget the company that they've worked with to build those. But I remember somebody taking a screwdriver, poking holes in this pouch, getting a portable, flamethrower, basically a portable torch, and trying to ignite it, and it didn't ignite. So there are some batteries, I would say, with chemistries that are more impervious to catching fire. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think this all comes down to, you know, how the car manufacturer, they need to design the battery. You know, you want to have the lower cost, you want to have the optimal range, you want to have, therefore, the right energy density. So it all depends. So you might have one property, but you always need to look at the complete properties and how your designing is.
Right.
Because you have certain battery chemistry that you might use in China, a certain battery chemistry is might maybe favorable for North America, where we have longer range. The battery that we need. Yes, there's multiple. And then, of course, you have the solid state technology that is coming as well, which has certain pros and cons. So it's always making the trade-offs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that golden nugget for the battery manufacturers and the OEMs to say is having as much energy density as possible packed in the smallest footprint as you can get it in. That way, yeah, you can provide maximum range, you could provide a good footprint at a price that makes sense, and then, you know, supplying that with decent fast charging for road tripping, then you have a very attractive vehicle for many. And we're working our way towards there, right? You know, where that 5-minute charge is probably, yes, within the decade, right? You know, as far as technology goes. And we are, you mentioned solid state and different chemistries that they're looking at, not only for better range and better energy density, but also for more resistance to cold and temperature swings, so that you won't see a 30, 40, 50% range drop in Canada or some of the Nordic countries, where it can get minus 20, minus 30, minus 40. And then, you know, your range, yep, instead of 300 miles, it's 150 miles. And that's just the nature, the physics of batteries, right? So a lot, yep, of stuff happening. And what else? I mean, you mentioned some really cool components and some of that underlying layers within those battery packs, cells, and modules that consumers, that we wouldn't be aware of what's going on under the skin. Is there anything else you can shed some light on there?
From a battery, indeed, you have multiple designs, and I just talk about the foam, but you can, mm-hmm, think about as well a cylinder cells, mm-hmm, and there you need to have encapsulation in between the cells with certain properties from a mechanical property, something vibration in combination with this, that flame retardant properties that you, mm-hmm, want to have. But as well, if you just look at the bus bar, and what is a bus bar is basically is connecting the different batteries together. And even on there, you know, we're developing some silicon rubber material here that you're basically, it's like a cable, but the bus bar, as it mentioned, is, mm-hmm, is literally a bus bar, mm-hmm, and you want to have some silicon rubber around it as well.
Like an insulator or something like that? Or?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It insulates, mm-hmm, just as a cable, it insulates. Mm-hmm. But the second part is as well, in case, again, you have a thermal event, that's if the silicon get very hot, it ceramifies, but remains the same properties for that bus bar. So preventing it, and again, that you have another event that could happen that might with other materials not. So we're continuously looking at optimizing and working in that safety element, but then we're working in many other safety elements as well into the vehicle.
Very interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize about the bus bar. You know, I've heard and seen some, you know, open packs and cutaways and things like that. So I understand a little bit, but, you know, it's a lot of complex engineering that goes into these packs. And I hope that listeners are getting the sense that, you know, you mentioned regulations. So there's legislation and regulatory pressures from a safety element, just like there is on all aspects of automotive transportation today, that manufacturers have to adhere to be able to put product into consumers' hands. And, you know, with EVs, there are controls, there are regulatory, there are guidelines and rules that they have to follow. And you mentioned, you know, some of those things as far as the construction of the packs and things that have to be put into these packs in order to meet safety regulations, correct? Because that's a growing concern.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the legislation, you know, is already in there with I mentioned the 5 minutes to get out of the vehicle, but, mm-hmm, continuously being reviewed, because you want to make sure that the vehicle you have today performs the same in 5 to 10 years with all the different, as well with the standards, meeting the standards. So what is very exciting about my job is that we work so much close with the people in the value chain, and we have we call it technical TS&D, technical service specialists, mm-hmm, that are really working with the specialists at the car manufacturing, and then hearing what their challenges is, and then we translate that into the material, because, mm, everything starts with advanced material, right? Your phone that you have in your hand, there are adhesive, thermal conductive material, and the same, you know, the vehicle of the future is as well, you know, electrical device, right? With all the electronics, the batteries, the power electronics. And what is very exciting is that we work very closely with those OEMs and understanding what do you need, what it need to be addressed. And battery fire protection is a hot topic where we're collaborating a lot. And by understanding what they need, we translate it into material properties and formulate certain properties for the bus bar, for the coating, or for the foams that are in the battery.
Are there standards around that are being developed, or is it still a bit of everybody's doing R&D to find the best solutions?
A combination of mm-hmm. both. I think everybody's continuously, you know, we are, I say still in the early stage of the battery design, right? There's still everybody is looking for how can we optimize, again, back to what I talked about, the cost, the range, the charging speed, and how can you optimize your, making sure the battery is safe and you can optimize all those elements. So there are certain standards, but the industry is continuously evolving in the combination of scaling up and making sure that the technology is meeting what we need for that we're expecting as a consumer with the vehicle, right? Reliable and performing.
Yeah. But even today, based on those standards and what's been engineered today, in your professional opinion, would you agree or disagree, I'll ask you, that EV battery packs are much safer than conventional internal combustion vehicles, engines and powertrains?
Yeah, I think both. I would say it's more or less the same, right? It's like an event can happen in both vehicles, in internal combustion engine and to an EV. The only thing in an EV, if it happens, then it can be a bit more severe, right? Because then you again talking about those batteries, if that's happening in there. So I think all the solutions that we're providing, like a battery EV, you know, is as safe as an ICE. And in any vehicle, you could have certain events happening, but it's all about if it happens, how are we making sure that everybody is safe, you know, and that we can control it. And that's really where the industry is working towards. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely a good answer. And I ask that because I know in just tracking what happens in the marketplace, you know, it's not uncommon to see, you know, hundreds of car fires in the US a day that happen. And, you know, there might be an EV fire a day or extremely small amount in that same time period. So it's much more frequent. But then, you know, on the flip side, there are, you know, 80% more vehicles on the road that are ICE that are EVs. So, you know, the numbers, we have to peel the layers off that way. But, you know I'm very comfortable in driving all electric. You know, there's a lot of safety, inherent safety characteristics with that all electric, you know, skateboard design that bring beyond just the pack, that stuff that you're describing. So, you know, so there is something that consumers should dig into as far as safety elements go and protection. And you sound like you have a pretty cool job, you and the team, because I'm going to ask you, do you get to blow stuff up, I guess, right?
Yes, well, actually we do. We have a torch where we burn material, see how it acts. We work with external institutes as well, where literally you do a nail into the battery cell and make it explode and to see what happens with all the material. I mean, we need to do real life testing, and we even do that with the car manufacturers. They do that as well. They have multiple packs. They put it into the most harsh environment just to make sure that we understanding all the dynamics that happening into the battery. So yes, I'm not doing myself, but my colleagues are burning things. Yes,
exactly, doing stuff. You know, but you make a great point there that you know, there's a lot of testing and stuff that happens that consumers may not realize beyond just, you know, your IIHS or your NCAP, you know, kind of crash testing that we'll see that is more visible. There's a lot of stuff going on for testing different elements of EV powertrains and components, from, you know, Arctic conditions to, you know, tropical to desert conditions, you know, heat and cold, all these changes, just to see what impacts they would have on safety, not just performance, but safety, which is a critical aspect. So, so pretty cool stuff. Now, I know, you know, we also talked about what you guys are doing in active and passive safety elements. Maybe you could explain a little bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been supplying the market already for decades into the passive safety. And what is passive safety? It's basically airbags and, of course, a seatbelt. The seatbelt is the most safest way in case an accident happens. But in the airbag, we're one of the key suppliers to the many tiers, the supply of the OEM for those airbags, where you have a silicon layer on top of the fabric, and this makes sure that you have the right pressure retention in case of deployment, so the occupant is safe, you know, even after 10 years, that you're making sure that the airbag functions accordingly. So that's the area on the passive safety. On the active safety, it's really about preventing an accident from happening. And there, you know, we have the presentation about ADAS, which is all about the advanced driving assistance with cameras, LiDAR, and radars. And in those components, and that's sort of our, we call it a silicon engineered materials, that we're developing material with certain properties to making sure if a radar and you have more higher frequency, that you have no crosstalk between the different electronics. So we're developing electrically conductive adhesive that makes sure that there is no, how would say it, a gap in between those different radars, and there or radars between all electronics, and you don't have a crosstalk, so noise, that making sure that the other device keep operating. And think about the past, if you had a TV, right, and you were moving around, you had a disturbance, that's basically sort of the crosstalk of the noise that I'm talking about. So active safety, really about the ADAS, and passive safety, really about the airbags, and it's essential for the safety in general. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's why, today's vehicles are such a marvel of engineering. We've come such a long way. Go back and look at, videos from the 50s and 60s, and you're going, my goodness, people actually drove high speeds in these kind of setups. It's amazing to think about how we've progressed. But on the airbags, absolutely most vehicles now. So it's not just an EV thing, obviously, but pretty all vehicles are coming with 6, 8, 10, 12 airbags. They're deploying them in as many spaces as they can to handle many different type of crash scenarios and events that can happen. Remind me again, because I wanted to just get confirmation that the curtain airbags in vehicles, which are very common, and these typically are side curtains, they stay inflated, do they not, after activation? It's not like the dash, the front ones that we see, or some of the lumbar or side ones that might happen for passengers that inflate to take the energy, the weight of the person hitting it, and then deflate. But the curtain ones stay inflated until the extrication process. Is that correct?
No, absolutely, you're right. So you have, we call it the first impact airbag. So if you have a crash, exactly to your point, right, that comes out of the steering wheel or the passenger or the knee, and then you have the side curtains. But the side curtains, they need to, there's specific legislation. And for example, in North America, it's called the rollover. So if you have a rollover with the vehicle, and I think it's around 25 to 30 seconds, it needs to be maintained its pressure retention. So, but because then you have the rollover or whatever you happen from the side, and then within, so it needs to maintain the pressure on the, for a longer period versus the first impact. And that means as well that you need to have a different design of your airbag, right? And therefore silicones are needed to making sure you have that pressure retention for that period yet that you need. Now the other interesting thing is linking airbags even with EV, and you can see some novel designs because the EV is more stiff, right? So therefore, versus an ICE type of vehicle, so you will need probably an airbag as well in between the passengers. So you can see the airbag companies are developing that, because if there's a collision from the side, you're moving your head, and you don't want two heads to collide with each other because of this, and because it's more stiffer, you have a higher chance of something like that happen. So there's a lot of innovation happening into the airbag, and when we think about the future vehicle where you have autonomous driving and you might sit in a different position, you can see some of the big airbag companies developing this sort of a cell that you basically, you want to fill the area into a vehicle more with airbags, because you don't, you want to get out of the vehicle in case an accident happens. So there's a lot of, so you have three-dimensional new type of design. So although it's a market for decades, you can still see a lot of innovation happening in that space.
Yeah, that, those are great, great information to provide. That's why I asked some of those questions. I'm aware, if folks aren't aware, that there was an accident about a year ago in north of Los Angeles area, of a Model Y that went off about a 300-foot cliff down off of Pacific Coast Highway, pretty well straight down, rolled down the cliff. It was a rocky cliff, and landed wheels down. It was a Tesla Model Y vehicle, landed wheels down, and they had to fly the helicopter and rappel people down to get to them. It was one of those situations on a very small part of the beach, but with rocks. Everybody in the vehicle survived. There were four occupants, two children in car seats in the back of not super young, but not still in car seats, and two adults in the front. Nobody had life-threatening injuries. The driver had the worst out of them all, but none life-threatening, which is amazing when you roll 350 feet down. And part of the safety element was, my determination was that curtain that stays inflated for that 20, 30 seconds again. So you're almost kind of in a bit of a, rolling down the cliff in a bouncy castle or something like that, where you've got some padding to help with all the other elements that are there. And then it's interesting you mentioned about the stiffness on EVs, because that's certainly a strong safety characteristic in a positive realm to be stiffer, to be able to, you know, maintain structural integrity in more like side pole impacts, which are very narrow and lots of energy focused. But you're right, that transition of energy is a little bit more, is stronger than as it flows through the vehicle from the point of impact, you know, throughout the vehicle. So I hadn't thought about that energy transfer and how that could impact passengers. And you're right, I am seeing much more of curtains that go up between the front passengers and even the rear passengers. And I didn't realize for those reasons. So I really appreciate you commenting on that. There's one thing I also wanted to mention when you mentioned the 3D and the spatial stuff, because, you know, sometimes science fiction can be a little ahead of reality in a good sense. And there's been a movie that it plays a lot. It's a Stallone movie called Demolition Man. If you've ever seen that, it's a good action movie with Wesley Snipes and stuff, and not promoting it, but there's a scene where he's in a police vehicle and he crashes and rolls over and it fills with foam. It's like somebody took a shaving can and just unloaded it inside this vehicle, but the foam instantly hardens to a point that it just kind of keeps the occupants, you know, surrounded in this dense foam, almost like a cooler kind of foam. And then he breaks his way out. So it's not enough to keep him in, but it gives you that kind of element, you know, sort of like skiers at, you know, in an avalanche, and they have these packs that inflate and create this kind of round bubble around them.
Yep.
Protect them. And I'm wondering if something like that is actually, you know, in not just in outer space or in sci-fi, but that could be a reality.
Yeah, I think the solution probably will be more in three-dimensional airbag with the very deployment, because if you need to have the foam, it's like a split second, right? How it happens. So to have that foam going like that, and then I think there will be other challenges with the occupant, because you need as well the cushion you need, right? The cushion to protect yourself. So, but yes, you're going to see a lot more three-dimensional, larger. Imagine in the future if we, you know, the carbon drive, the robotaxi, right? And people are sitting now, not facing the street anymore. You're going to sit differently. Then you will need to fill the whole space, the cabinet, or the cabin, completely with type of airbags. And it could come out of your seat and then maybe protect you as a cocoon, as an example.
Yes.
And some of the larger airbag companies, they, if you look at the website, they have these type of feature airbags that are coming. So they're definitely thinking about it. But there's so much testing, so much crashes being done the way we sit today. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to sit differently, there's so many studies being done by university, like, okay, you know, now if you see an accident happening, you're in a car, you start to, you know, put your muscles, right? Because you see the impact. Mm-hmm. If you're not seeing the impact and it comes, your whole body will act differently. So what would that do to the injuries, etc.? So a lot of research is being done. So just changing your seats and how you protect is a lot of research, and engineers are thinking that through. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, as we get to the close of this episode, I wanted to ask, you know, is there anything else that you guys are working on relative to the EV or auto industry in general that we may not have covered today?
Yeah, maybe two nice examples to provide is that recently launched LuxSense, which is a silicon synthetic leather as an alternative for natural leather. So I think what we want to achieve, what we would like to contribute into the industry, is first helping the industry going from ICE to EV, so the electrification. But the other key trend that is really important is about sustainability. Mm-hmm. So how can we lower the carbon footprint of all the materials that are used in the vehicle and end of life? How do we treat those material end of life? So that's a key area that we work on together with the value chain. So not just those innovations we just talked about, but what happens during the life cycle. So one of the key trends we see is that more and more car manufacturers are moving away from natural leather for obvious reasons. And therefore we have developed this alternative, which is a silicon synthetic leather under the brand LuxSense. And we recently launched it in China with a very big EV company who has now the interior with this LuxSense. So we're very proud, and we're now expanding it, and we're bringing it to North America. Another thing is, and I think it's you know, we like to inspire as well the next generation, right? Because I think automotive is where everything comes together. It's hardware, software, material, how you go to market. So the most innovative place in the world is automotive. And therefore, you know, we want to encourage the next generation. And just to give another example of what we're doing is we work very closely with the company Bridgestone for tires. And we developed a material for self-sealing tires. So basically, as you go to an electrical vehicle, you want to remove that spare tire so you have more space for your battery and you can use that. But then in the meantime, you want to make sure in case you have a puncture that you can still go home. So in the tire, you have a gel, a silicone gel goes in. And the moment you have a puncture and it's when a nail goes through it, it goes out, it fills that hole. But you know, you have multiple technology can do that. The interesting thing is the performance over time, and it can still drive like 1,000 kilometers. Mm-hmm. But the thing back to the decarbonization that we want to do into this industry is that end of life, we can take the material out of the tire and we can reuse it and we can make new material from it, new silicone material, for example, for the tire or for other applications. So not just solving a solution with lightweighting, getting the battery, but then as well, how end of life can we making sure that we can reuse this material? And so every innovation, every discussion we're having, we're thinking about that decarbonization and the sustainability where we need to drive this industry towards. So anyway, these two examples I wanted to highlight.
No, that's excellent. I'm glad you have, because that is another very compelling point that whole electrification landscape is doing. And of course it rolls into the automotive landscape in general, is that whole life cycle and the value chain that you mentioned in lowering, you know, carbon impacts and being more sustainable on many different fronts, right? So, yes. It's not just the recyclability of battery packs that are, 90%+ of it can be recycled. Materials can be reclaimed. I get asked this a lot, we're going to see all these big packs in landfills. Well, no, you're not, because that business is spinning up to take them when they're done, because it's a very small market, still comparable, and do things with it, reuse materials. So you've just explained a great example of how that whole use case happens in that life cycle in the value chain. And that's something that continues to move forward at a phenomenal pace that the market is. And, I'm glad in that self-sealing tire stuff, I know we've had kind of, a puncture resistant or that technology for a while, but to be able to operate it as you described in a longer use case, it's almost like a James Bond kind of thing. I've seen some movies where, they shoot out his tires and the tires blow up again and he keeps going. So we're almost there, folks, between Demolition Man and James Bond. I'm quoting movies today. The science is, fiction is not that far from reality. So it's pretty cool stuff. So listen, it's been an excellent conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your expertise and what Dow Consumer Solutions is doing, kind of behind the scenes, right? Because we're not seeing this stuff. Yes. It's all in under the covers. We see them maybe for obviously the synthetic leather. We'll see that materials right up front on beautiful seats and things like that. But a lot of cool stuff going on behind the scenes. I've been speaking to Hiran Bello. He's the Global Marketing Director of Mobility Science and a Dow Marketing Fellow, which means you're really smart and really important. So, super happy to have you on for Dow Consumer Solutions. How can people find out what's going on and look up more stuff on you guys?
Yeah, I would encourage if you go to Dow.com and then in there you can look at mobility science, and then you can find all the, there's so much more areas that we can talk about. And it's really, I think, the amazing material science that we bring there. So Dow.com, and in there you can go to mobility science, and then you can find all the different solutions that we're working on.
Great. And you mentioned, the amount of smart people and the different types of jobs and applications that are involved in all this. And so, if there are listeners out there that might, that are going through university or college or getting into high school and thinking of careers, there's a ton of stuff going on in here. It's not just lawyers and engineers, right? There's a lot of other sciences that to go after. And, certainly consider something like this and check out things like what Dow is doing, and that might inspire you, give you some sense of direction. Because we need, the future. We need your young folks out there to help save us, continue to save us in the future as we move forward in trying to better the planet. So again, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thanks again for listening, folks. You can email me if you have comments. Email at evrevolutionshow@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @EVRevShow. And If you have any suggestions for shows, please let me know. Thanks again for listening, and please, everybody stay safe. And until the next time, I'll see you when I see you.